The housing bust takes center stage as Nevada Republicans make their choice.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Tomorrow, Nevada Republicans will voice their opinion on which presidential candidate should face President Obama in the election this fall. And the issue of housing is likely to be front and center on voters' minds. Nevada led the nation in home foreclosures last year, and so it is where we launch coverage from our new Wealth and Poverty Desk. And here's Marketplace's Sarah Gardner.
Meet Tom Wedeen, husband, father of three, and hurting homeowner.
This is our cul-de-sac. I call it foreclosure lane.
Wedeen, his wife Denise, and their daughters live in Enterprise, a middle-class suburb just south of Las Vegas. Their street isn't even a decade old yet, but it's seen plenty of trouble.
There's 11 houses on it. Nine have been foreclosed, two of them foreclosed twice.
Wedeen fears his house will be next. The couple used to run a small business fixing properties damaged by fire or burst water pipes. But since losing that business during the housing bust, the Wedeens have struggled to make payments on their four-bedroom home.
It was about a year that we started having to use credit cards to survive.
In fact, Denise says, they haven't made a payment in months.
So I guess we're just kind of waiting for that sticker on our door right now. I do look every day.
Like many Nevada homeowners, the Wedeens are stuck. Their house is worth a mere third of their $450,000 mortgage. They can't make any money selling the house, and even if they could sell and move, the job market isn't that promising elsewhere. Tom says, funny thing is, when times were good, their suburban street attracted some riffraff.
Well, I think because drug dealers could buy houses for no money down.
Since all the foreclosures, though, the Wedeens say decent families have moved in. They're hoping a new state law that makes it harder for banks to foreclose will buy them some time. Tom's busy hunting for a new career, and the family just filed for personal bankruptcy to get out from under some old business debt.
It's a new road for us to travel on. I wish we weren't there. But it basically is going to give us a fresh start, and you know that's what we need. I'm 47. I don't have too much time to get another start going and be able to generate an income.
One saving grace, Wedeen says, Denise's part-time job at Starbucks. It doesn't begin to pay the bills, but it's the only reason they have health insurance. In Enterprise, Nevada, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And Kai Rizdahl will be hosting a special broadcast from Las Vegas later today on Marketplace. Well, states have until Monday to decide if they want to join a national settlement with banks over abusive mortgage practices. The deal could be worth up to $25 billion, but not every state wants in. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
What's better? Take the banks to court and risk years of litigation, or cut a deal and move forward? Keith Dubanovich is chief of staff for Oregon's attorney general.
The fact that we can now provide some direct benefit to people that are facing foreclosure this year as opposed to sometime down the road is one of the substantial reasons that we felt that this was a benefit to Oregon and we wanted to sign on.
Under the deal, banks would modify loans. That could be worth as much as $200 million for Oregon homeowners. The dollar amounts vary from state to state. The reforms are more universal. Kathleen Day is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
So it would end the so-called robo-signing, where employees were just signing things, attesting to things in a court of law that they had no idea about. That's just fraud, and banks won't be able to do it.
Day says the settlement isn't perfect, but it helps people keep their homes. She says that's important because research shows we're only halfway through the total number of expected foreclosures. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher across the world this morning, up about 0.5% in London and in Paris and Frankfurt right now. And we are waiting this morning in Washington for the January jobs report from the Labor Department. That'll tell us what the new U.S. unemployment rate is and how many jobs were created last month. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 11 points to close at 12,705.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. By Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com.
Now to London, where restaurants and bars have declared war on the straw, as in the plastic straws that come with drinks. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us now live to explain. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So explain this war on the straws.
Well, these bars and restaurants in Soho in London are not banning plastic straws. They're just not handing them out automatically anymore. Customers will have to ask for a straw in future, so that'll probably reduce the number that are handed over.
And why is this happening?
For environmental reasons. Conservationists say most of these straws, especially from fast food outlets, are thrown on the sidewalk. They end up in the gutter, in the drains, and eventually the sea, where they damage marine wildlife and pollute the beaches.
Now, I have to say, I'm not really a straw guy myself, but what's the reaction been over there?
Well, so far, customers seem to be reacting positively. These two Coke drinkers who were strawless in London yesterday were not complaining.
It'd be all right, I'd just drink it out of a cup. Straws aren't a big deal.
I don't mind about the straws because I'm going to drink without it anyway, so...
But the body representing plastic manufacturers are a little defensive. They say the plastic straw's been demonised. It is, they say, both hygienic and recyclable. But, you know, I should say, Jeremy, this campaign is not, I suspect, going to have a major impact on the UK. Beer and tea are still the two key beverages here, and no one in their right mind would use a straw to drink either of
Don't
them.
Don't need a straw for those. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And finally, to a supermarket in the UK called Sainsbury's, which sold a product called Tiger Bread. The crust of the bread looks sort of like the side of a tiger. Well, actually, as a three-year-old girl named Lily Robinson wrote in a letter to Sainsbury's, it should be called giraffe bread because it looks more like a giraffe. Sainsbury's agreed with Little Lily, and now all across the UK, it is called giraffe bread. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The Republican presidential race moves to Nevada this Saturday, but what do the voters really think?
I think our economy sucks.
I am so optimistic for the things that are going to happen.
I am hopeful that the economy will get better because I would like a job.
The Real Economy, our special election coverage live from Las Vegas, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.